Welcome, dear listeners, to our scary stories. As the shroud of night blankets your world, lean in closer, for we are about to embark on a chilling journey. Each tale is a portal, every word a whispered incantation, pulling you into the abyss of the unknown. So, if you're brave enough, dim the light, breathe deep, and prepare to be ensnared by tonight's dark narrative. The question is, are you ready? The air was crisp, the leaves rustled, and the once golden canopy of fall transformed the sidewalks into a canvas of amber and crimson. As the sun dipped below the horizon, the once tranquil neighborhood of Willowbrook sprang to life with the laughter of children in costumes, luminescent jack-o'-lanterns, and homes adorned in faux cobwebs and skeletal decorations. Among these homes was the Moore residence, a stately manor with ornate woodwork and towering chimneys that had stood the test of time, its stone walls whispering secrets of bygone eras. The Moore family, with their boxes still unpacked, felt a mix of excitement and trepidation as they approached their first Halloween in their new home. David, a tall man with salt and pepper hair, adjusted the tie on his Dracula costume, while Lorraine, his vibrant wife, affixed a witch's hat to her auburn curls. Jonah, at 16, had claimed he was too old for trick-or-treating but couldn't resist donning a zombie mask. Young Mira, just 10, clutched her bag in a fairy princess ensemble, her wings sparkling with anticipation. David tried to infuse the evening with cheer. What do you say, team? First Halloween in the new place. Let's make it memorable. Lorraine smiled, gazing up at their grand new abode. It already feels like it will be. There's something about this place. Jonah interrupted, feigning a growl through his mask. Hopefully, it's full of candy. However, Mira's gaze was fixed elsewhere. Across the street, a cluster of neighborhood kids huddled, their voices a blend of excitement and hushed tones. Drawn by curiosity, she wandered over, her fairy shoes crunching the autumn leaves. That house, whispered one boy, pointing directly at the Moore residence, has stories. A girl with pigtails chimed in, yeah, like the porchlight legend. My big sister told me, if it flickers 3 times on Halloween, the undead come looking. Mira's heart raced. What do they do? The boy leaned in closer, lowering his voice to a spine-chilling whisper. They tried to get inside. Wide-eyed, Mira stumbled back, feeling the weight of the manor's looming silhouette. She shook her head, trying to dispel her unease. It's just a silly legend, she told herself. Yet, as the evening crept on and the streets filled with trick-or-treaters, the legend of the flickering porch light gnawed at her thoughts. Amid the festive atmosphere, with skeletons dancing in the wind and children's laughter echoing, the old house felt alive in its own quiet way. But as the first trick-or-treaters approached the Moore's door, a single, dim flicker from the porch light punctuated the night, casting a brief shadow over the festivities and deepening the unease in Mira's heart. The Moore's entranceway transformed into a conveyor belt of characters. Pirates, superheroes, and witches laughed and thanked them, their bags rustling with the promise of sugary treasure. Lorraine's laughter filled the hall as she marveled at the creativity of the young visitors, while Jonah occasionally peeked from upstairs, casting teasing shadows to spook the younger kids. Mira, with her fairy wings still proudly displayed, assisted her father in candy distribution. But her mind was elsewhere, her eyes darting periodically to the porch light overhead. Its glow was warm and constant, its rhythm undisturbed, but she couldn't shake off the whispered tales from earlier. Just as a young knight was thanking her for his candy, it happened, a brief dimming of the light, like a hesitant blink. Mira's heart skipped a beat. She looked up sharply, then over to her father. David noticed it too. Probably just the old wiring, he commented, squinting up at the bulb. Or maybe this bulb's time is up. Mira bit her lip. Dad, do you think it might be something else? Something like the legend? David chuckled, ruffling her hair affectionately. Sweetheart, every old house has its tales. It's all in good fun. Let me just replace the bulb to put your mind at ease. He went inside, returning shortly with a fresh bulb from one of the many unpacked boxes. Ascending a step ladder, he swapped the bulbs with practiced ease. The new one shone brightly, illuminating the pathway and the parade of costumed kids. There, David said with a triumphant grin, good as new. However, as the sky darkened, the mood changed. The flow of trick-or-treaters began to wane, and families retreated into their homes. The Moore's porch became quieter, the glow of their light a beacon in the encroaching night. But then, as Mira handed candy to a pair of giggling fairies, the light dimmed again, not once but twice in quick succession. The world seemed to pause. The laughter of distant children sounded miles away, and the wind felt cooler against Mira's cheeks. She looked up, her heart pounding loudly in her chest. Three flickers, just like the legend said. Lorraine, noticing Mira's pale face, moved closer, wrapping an arm around her. It's just a house settling in, darling. But Mira wasn't so sure. The whispers of neighborhood kids, the weight of the ancient house, and the thrice flickering light had sown a seed of fear. As the family retired indoors, the festive glow of Halloween was overshadowed by an undercurrent of dread, and the grand house with its newly replaced bulb kept its secrets well. The remnants of the Halloween hustle gradually gave way to a calmer, more muted atmosphere. The distant echoes of laughter faded, leaving the neighborhood wrapped in the cloak of late evening, interrupted only by the occasional hoot of an owl or rustle of wind-touched trees. Inside, the Moores settled into their living room. David and Jonah discussed plans for unpacking the remaining boxes, while Lorraine and Mira shared a quiet moment, sipping hot cocoa by the window. The fireplace crackled, casting flickering shadows across the room, an ironic reminder of the porch light. A sudden, soft knock interrupted their tranquility. David glanced at the clock above the mantel. A bit late for trick-or-treaters, isn't it? Lorraine got up, smoothing her skirt. Maybe some older kids. Let's not leave them waiting. Opening the door, she was met with an unexpected sight. Instead of teens in shabby last-minute costumes, a group of younger children stood on their doorstep. They were clad in plain, old-fashioned clothes, their faces pale and expressionless. Their eyes, lacking the usual childish sparkle of Halloween anticipation, were dark and seemingly empty. Trick or treat, they murmured, their voices flat in unison, lacking enthusiasm. Taken aback, Lorraine managed a smile, albeit a forced one. Oh my, you all are out late. Here you go. She hastily dropped candies into their open bags. One girl, her hair braided tightly, looked up. Her voice was cold, a monotone that didn't match her age. Your house, it's very inviting. Lorraine, feeling a shiver creep up her spine, nodded. Thank you. Now, you children best hurry home. It's getting quite late. She closed the door gently, leaning against it with a sigh. Something about those children unsettled her, something she couldn't quite place. It wasn't just their appearance, it was an aura, a heavy stillness that accompanied them. Mira, who'd been peeking from behind the living room door, whispered, Mom, who are they? Just some late trick-or-treaters, Lorraine replied, trying to sound nonchalant. Probably from out of town. David raised an eyebrow. Dressed like that. And at this hour. Before Lorraine could answer, Mira's soft voice interrupted. They're still there. The family turned to see her pointing towards the window. Sure enough, the group of children stood motionless under the glow of a streetlight, their eyes fixed on the Moore residence. They weren't talking or giggling like typical children. They just stood, silently watching, their shadows stretching long and thin on the asphalt. A heavy silence filled the room. It was clear that these weren't ordinary children, and this wasn't going to be an ordinary night. A legend of the porch light, once a mere tale, felt chillingly close to reality. Determined to find answers, Mira took to the attic the next morning, a realm of forgotten memories and dusty heirlooms. Amongst old furniture and trinkets lay boxes of paperwork left by previous homeowners. With a curious hand, Mira sorted through them, her mind racing with thoughts of the mysterious children and the unsettling legend. Hours seemed like minutes as she delved deeper. And then, sandwiched between faded bills and letters, she found them. Old newspaper clippings, yellowed with age. The headlines sent a chill down her spine. Unexplained disappearances on Halloween night. Local family vanishes without a trace. And mysterious children sightings, legend or truth. Each article told a hauntingly similar tale. Families in this very house, over different decades, who had experienced the same eerie occurrences. The porch light, the children, and ultimately, tragedy. One family had vanished entirely, another was found in a state of perpetual fear, unwilling or unable to speak of what they had witnessed. Mira's hands trembled. She needed to share this with her family. Rushing downstairs, she spread the clippings on the dining table, her voice urgent. Look at these. We're not the first ones. A legend, it's all true. David, eyebrows furrowed, scanned the headlines while Lorraine leaned in, a worried look crossing her face. We need to stay calm, David began, attempting to maintain a brave front. These are just coincidences, Mira. Old tales get sensationalized over time. But Mira wasn't convinced. Dad, these aren't just stories. This happened in our house. We have to do something. Jonah, who had been silent till now, spoke up. I've felt it too. Cold spots in my room, faint whispers when no one's around. Lorraine nodded, her face pale. I've seen shadows. At first, I thought it was just my mind playing tricks, but now. David sighed deeply, his initial skepticism waning. Let's not jump to conclusions. Maybe there's a logical explanation. But as the day wore on, the house seemed to wrap itself in an even more profound silence. Cold spots appeared out of nowhere, making the air dense and oppressive. The walls seemed to hold secrets, faint murmurs echoing from unknown sources. Every creak, every gust of wind seemed magnified, a constant reminder of the looming mystery. By evening, as the sun dipped and cast the house in an orange glow, shadows danced more vigorously, merging and splitting in a macabre ballet. The Moore family huddled close, the newspaper clippings a grim reminder that legends sometimes wear the cloak of reality. And as the day's light ebbed, the realization that another night awaited them was inescapable. The night's stillness was oppressive, laden with the weight of unspoken fears. Each member of the Moore family drifted into a restless sleep, haunted by the revelations of the day. But it was a silence that wouldn't last. In the heart of the night, a sound sliced through the quiet, a soft, rhythmic knocking, like the gentle touch of countless fingertips against the house. First on the windows, then on the doors, growing in number and frequency. Accompanying it was an eerie hum, like the collective voice of the wind, punctuated by distant laughter, neither childlike nor entirely mature. Jonah was the first to stir, his eyes snapping open. The knocks echoed in his ears, an ominous drumbeat. He hurriedly shook David awake. Dad, do you hear that? By now, Lorraine and Mira had awakened too, their faces reflecting a mix of confusion and fear. Together, the family moved towards the living room window, the soft glow of a streetlight providing just enough illumination to reveal a sight that would forever be etched into their memories. Outside, the lawn and street were filled with figures, people of all ages, dressed in attire spanning decades. Their skin pale, their movements languid, their eyes dark voids. Some seemed almost transparent, their forms wavering like a mirage. Amidst them, the Moore family could make out familiar faces, those of former residents from the newspaper clippings, a grim testament to the house's dark history. They're real. All the stories. They're all real, Mira whispered, her voice shaking. Lorraine, her protective instincts taking over, pulled her daughter close. We need to secure the house. Now. David nodded, snapping into action. Jonah, help me with the doors. Lorraine, Mira, draw all the curtains and blinds. The house came alive with activity. Furniture was dragged to barricade entrances, windows were latched and reinforced with anything the family could find. Every so often, they would hear the soft thuds, the eerie hum growing louder, more insistent. As the last window was sealed, the family retreated to the living room, their makeshift stronghold. Together, they huddled, the boundaries of personal space forgotten in the face of an unimaginable threat. The realization hit them hard. This wasn't just about the legend anymore. This was about survival. The walls of their home, once a symbol of security, now felt paper thin against the encroaching darkness and the relentless army of the undead waiting just beyond. The attic, a vault of memories, became a place of revelation once more. While David and Jonah, drenched in sweat and determination, fortified the house, Lorraine and Mira ventured up, hoping to unearth more information. Amidst cobweb-laden beams and forgotten artifacts, Mira's hand brushed against a leather-bound diary. Its spine was cracked, its pages yellowed, but the words within were clear and penned with meticulous care. It's dated 1925, Lorraine murmured, flipping the cover open. The name Margaret Hale was inscribed on the inner leaf. As mother and daughter pored over the pages, they discovered Margaret's account of the first occurrence of the legend. With every word, the tale unfurled like a dark tapestry, painting a vivid picture of a time when the porch light first flickered and the undead made their debut. One entry stood out. November 1st, 1925. The night was unlike any other. The dead, with hollow eyes, laid siege to our home. Desperation drove me to the town's elder, Mr. Hawthorne. He spoke of a ritual handed down through generations, said to repel these lost souls. A circle of salt, candles lit from the house's hearth, and the lullaby sung by the eldest woman in the house. But the last, the heart of the ritual, was a locket, passed down in my family for generations. It holds the power to seal the bond between realms, ensuring the dead remain in theirs. Lorraine exchanged a glance with Mira. We need to perform this ritual. But we don't have the locket, Mira pointed out, her voice tinged with hopelessness. Lorraine continued reading, her fingers tracing the words as she whispered. The locket was hidden, safeguarded for times of dire need. Beneath the hearthstone, it waits, its power undiminished. With newfound determination, the pair hurried downstairs. David, Jonah, Lorraine called out. We've found something, a way to end this nightmare. Detailing their discovery, the family set to work. David and Jonah pried the hearthstone loose, revealing a tarnished silver locket. Lorraine, drawing from a lifetime of memories, began humming an ancient lullaby her grandmother once sang. Mira spread a protective circle of salt around the house, while Jonah lit candles from the hearth's flame. Each step was executed with care, time seeming to stretch as they dared to hope, their actions a beacon against the enveloping darkness and the ever-present threat lurking just beyond their barricades. Moonlight painted the world in muted hues, the streets bathed in a chilling, silvery glow. David and Jonah stood at the back door, their breath visible in the frosty air. Before venturing out, they had strategized, listing the necessary items, certain herbs from Ms. Thompson's garden, the old church bell's clapper, and fresh water from the town well. David handed Jonah a sack. Remember, avoid direct confrontations. We get what we need, and we get out. Jonah nodded, clutching a flashlight, its beam a sliver of hope in the encompassing darkness. As they stepped out, David lit a Molotov cocktail, hurling it to the opposite end of the yard. The ensuing flames drew the undead, their forms drawn to the light and heat like moths. Using this distraction, father and son made their way towards the garden, sticking to shadows and moving silently. While the two faced the terrors outside, within the confines of the house, Lorraine and Mira delved deeper into Margaret Hale's diary. Its pages revealed sins of the past, tales of betrayal, and unspeakable acts committed within the home's walls. It wasn't just their presence in the house that had roused the undead. It was the house itself, a beacon of unresolved anguish and torment. The spirits aren't just haunting us. They're trapped here, Lorraine whispered, realization dawning. Bound by the pain of the past. Outside, David and Jonah reached Ms. Thompson's garden. The scent of lavender filled the air, a stark contrast to the putrid decay that seemed to have overtaken the town. Jonah swiftly gathered herbs, tying them into a bundle. Their next stop, the old church, proved more daunting. The towering structure cast long, foreboding shadows, its silhouette looming against the star-studded sky. As David attempted to remove the bell's clapper, a group of undead began to amass at the entrance. The soft glow in their vacant eyes seemed to focus on Jonah. Without hesitation, the young man banged a metal rod against the pews, the noise echoing, creating a diversion. The undead shifted their attention, granting David precious moments to retrieve the clapper. Their final destination, the town well, was eerily silent. Jonah cranked the handle, drawing fresh water. As they prepared to leave, a chilling breeze swept past, carrying with it faint whispers, echoes of a time long gone, memories of lives once lived. With their sack filled, the duo raced back home, evading the ever-watchful undead, their quest now tinged with a deeper understanding. It wasn't just about their survival, but redemption for souls ensnared in the web of the house's dark history. The ancient wood of the living room floor creaked as the Moore family gathered in a tight circle, the collected items laid out before them. A ritual, as detailed in Margaret Hale's diary, required precise steps, each element possessing significance in banishing the restless spirits. David carefully placed the fresh water in an old basin, and as Jonah ground the herbs into a paste, Lorraine struck the church bell clapper against the side of the bowl. With each resonant clang, an eerie stillness seemed to envelop the house. Outside, the once soft knocks on windows and doors grew into aggressive bangs. The haunting laughter and low hums intensified, converging into a mournful symphony of desperation. Within this chaotic background, Mira, her voice unwavering, began to recite the incantations from the diary. Words of power, words of release. Her family joined in, their collective voice echoing through the house. As the ritual continued, a series of visions unfurled before them, glimpses of the home's past. They saw joyous occasions overshadowed by acts of treachery. There was a dance where a young woman, possibly Margaret, was betrayed by her beloved. Another vision showed a deal gone wrong, where blood was spilled over the property rights of the very house they now inhabited. Each memory revealed layer upon layer of pain, anger, and longing. Lorraine's eyes brimmed with tears. "We're not just dispelling them. We're setting them free," she murmured, realization evident in her voice. The climax of the ritual neared. David, placing his hand over the bowl, recited a vow, a promise that they, as the current residents, would ensure the home would no longer be a place of deceit but one of reconciliation. Outside, the intensity of the undead's onslaught began to wane, their forms starting to shimmer and waver. The air grew warmer, the shadows less sinister. As the final word was uttered, a profound silence settled. The aggressive banging ceased, replaced by a gentle wind rustling the trees, as if the world itself was exhaling in relief. The street outside, once teeming with restless spirits, now lay empty and still, the past having finally found its peace. Dawn's first light cast a soft, golden hue across the living room, revealing the Moore family, weary but determined. The diary had been explicit: to fully banish the undead, they needed to not only repel but reconcile. Using Margaret Hale's notes, the family split up, each taking responsibility for a specific spirit, attempting to understand the heart of their unrest. Jonah's task was to find the spirit of a man who had been wronged in a business deal. The spirit, once a jovial gentleman named Edgar, was now a twisted, resentful shade, lurking at the edge of their property. "You were betrayed," Jonah said, holding up a deed mentioned in the diary. "But this house remembers you, recognizes your claim. Your legacy here is more than a broken deal." Handing the deed to the shadowy figure, Jonah watched as Edgar's contorted visage softened, gratitude replacing rage. With a nod, he vanished into the morning mist. Meanwhile, Lorraine confronted a spirit of a young woman who died of heartbreak, her love unrequited. With tender words, Lorraine spoke of the beauty of love, even if it wasn't returned. "Your love was pure," Lorraine whispered, handing over a locket with a faded photo. "And that is a thing of beauty that transcends time." The spirit, tears of joy replacing her eternally sad eyes, embraced Lorraine before fading away. Mira's mission was especially challenging. She faced the spirit of a child, no older than she, who had died tragically in the house. Holding a worn-out toy horse, she knelt beside the little boy, tears streaming down her face. "It's okay," she murmured, "you're not alone anymore." Handing him the toy, she watched as the child's ethereal form giggled, his joy tangible, before he, too, disappeared into the light. However, as the day waned, David faced the most daunting challenge. In the depths of the basement, a spirit writhed in fury. It was the malevolent spirit of a man named Ambrose, the very heart of the house's darkness, fueled by centuries of rage and malice. "I know what you did," David began, his voice firm. Holding up an old journal, he continued, "and I also know your story wasn't black and white. But it's time to let go, Ambrose. Time to find your own peace." As David read out the man's own remorse-filled words from the journal, Ambrose's anger gradually receded, replaced by a profound sorrow. As the sun set, the house, once heavy with the weight of the past, felt lighter, freer. Yet, the family knew their task wasn't over. The most formidable confrontations awaited them. The first rays of dawn painted the sky in hues of pink and orange, casting long shadows across the Moore's yard. The night had been long and grueling, yet the promise of a new day infused them with hope. In the heart of the house, in the very room where countless memories had been made and lost, the family stood united. Before them were the most tenacious spirits, the ones whose tragedies ran the deepest, binding them to this mortal realm. At the forefront was a spirit couple, Clara and Samuel, who had built the house as a testament to their undying love. However, a tragic accident had claimed their lives before they could truly make it their home. Their spirits, intertwined in their grief, had never found the solace to move on. David, holding a carefully preserved wedding album, approached them. "This was your dream," he said, eyes glistening. "But it's time to move beyond this. Your love story isn't confined by these walls." As Lorraine played a delicate tune on an old piano, a song Clara and Samuel once danced to, the spirits smiled, their forms shimmering in the morning light before gently dissipating. With each resolution, the porch light's glow intensified, its brilliance beckoning the spirits. One by one, as their stories were heard and acknowledged, they gravitated towards the light, their forms turning brighter and more ethereal, until they were indistinguishable from the dawn's rays. The culmination of the night's efforts came when Mira, the youngest yet perhaps the bravest, stepped forward to address a spirit child who clung to a doll, a replica of which Mira now held. "I'll take care of her," Mira promised, holding the doll close. "And every time I play with her, I'll think of you." With a nod of understanding, the spirit child playfully twirled around Mira before following the others into the light. As the sun claimed the horizon, bathing the world in its golden warmth, the house exhaled, releasing centuries of sorrow. It felt alive in a new way, welcoming and protective. The Moors, although exhausted, were enveloped in a profound sense of peace. That evening, as they settled into their rejuvenated home, David removed the porch light's bulb. "Just a precaution," he said with a smile. Lorraine nodded in agreement. "Some traditions are best left untouched." The night was silent, save for the comforting sounds of a family united, and a house that was, at last, truly theirs. Thus concludes another episode of Our Scary Stories. As dawn chases away the shadows, and the veil between our world and the other side grows thin, remember, not all is as it seems. The creaks in your home, the rustling outside your window, could be remnants of tales not yet told. Sleep well, dear listeners, and until next time, keep your porch lights off and your ears tuned to the whispers in the dark.